Blog Talk Radio.
Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God, and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He himself has declared his infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is his glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. "He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because he delighteth in mercy." Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, he has sought to reveal himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent his love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that he may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow, by revealing to the world the infinite love of God, that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John chapter 1 verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. When one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" John chapter 14 verses 8 and 9. In describing his earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke chapter 4 verse 18. This was his work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for he had passed through them and healed all their sick. His work gave evidence of his divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of his life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that he might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach him. Even the little children were attracted to him. They loved to climb upon his knees and gaze into the pensive face, benignant with love. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but he uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in his intercourse with people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. He wept over Jerusalem, the city he loved, which refused to receive him, the way, the truth, and the life. They had rejected him, the Savior, but he regarded them with pitying tenderness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others. Every soul was precious in his eyes. While he ever bore himself with divine dignity, he bowed with the tenderest regard to every member of the family of God. In all men he saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. Such is the character of Christ as revealed in his life. This is the character of God. It is from the Father's heart that the streams of divine compassion, manifest in Christ, flow out to the children of men. Jesus, the tender, pitying Savior, was God, manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived and suffered and died. He became a man of sorrows, that we might be made partakers of everlasting joy. God permitted his beloved Son, full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable glory to a world marred and blighted with sin, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. He permitted him to leave the bosom of his love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Behold him in the wilderness, in Gethsemane, upon the cross. The spotless Son of God took upon himself the burden of sin. He who had been one with God felt in his soul the awful separation that sin makes between God and man. This wrung from his lips the anguished cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. It was the burden of sin, the sense of its terrible enormity, of its separation of the soul from God. It was this that broke the heart of the Son of God. But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for man, not to make him willing to save. No, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. The Father loves us, not because of the great propitiation, but he provided the propitiation because he loves us. Christ was the medium through which he could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God suffered with his Son in the agony of Gethsemane, the death of Calvary. The heart of infinite love paid the price of our redemption. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. John chapter 10, verse 17. That is, my Father has so loved you that he even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you. In becoming your substitute and surety, by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions, I am endeared to my Father, for by my sacrifice God can be just and yet the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. None but the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only he who was in the bosom of the Father could declare him. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it manifest. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him not only to live among men, to bear their sins, to die their sacrifice. He gave him to the fallen race. Christ was to identify himself with the interests and needs of humanity. He who was one with God has linked himself with the children of men by ties that are never to be broken. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, Hebrews 2:11. He is our sacrifice, our advocate, our brother, bearing our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages one with the race. He has redeemed the Son of Man. And all this that man might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, that he might reflect the love of God and share the joy of holiness. The price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving his Son to die for us, should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired Apostle John beheld the height, the depth, the breadth of the Father's love toward the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence, and failing to find suitable language in which to express the greatness and tenderness of this love, he called upon the world to behold it. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, 1 John 3:1. What a value this places upon man. Through transgression, the sons of man become subjects of Satan. Through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become the sons of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevates humanity. Fallen men are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the name sons of God. Such love is without parallel. Children of the Heavenly King, precious promise, theme for the most profound meditation, the matchless love of God for a world that did not love Him. The thought has a subduing power upon the soul and brings the mind into captivity to the will of God. The more we study the divine character in light of the cross, the more we see mercy, tenderness, and forgiveness blended with equity and justice, and the more clearly we discern innumerable evidences of that love that is infinite and a tender pity surpassing a mother's yearning sympathy for her wayward child. End of chapter 1.
Amen, amen. I just want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. And I just want to go into prayer. So be in prayer with me while I pray. Oh, Father, which art in heaven, Lord, as we come to the prayer line, Father, to lift up your name, your mighty, righteous, and holy name, Father, we ask in you, Father, for your blessing tonight, to bless this prayer line, to be with us, Lord, as I'm hosting. on the prayer line, sharing, testifying, reading scriptures, saying, and just giving you praise and glory. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for once again for blessing us to be on the prayer line, to fellowship and come together and be united. I thank you, Father. I'm asking you to bless my brothers and sisters. I'm asking you to touch their hearts. May they touch one and share and just give, Lord Father, what you have done for them this week. Allow them to speak. Allow them to testify of your goodness. So now, Lord, as we pray, we ask him for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, keep us, and give us wisdom and knowledge. We thank you ever so much, Father, for our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And we ask, Father, all this in his name, we do pray. Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. And I just want to just read something short for you, just to be encouraged. Joshua and Caleb did. And as we are searching, as we are praying for land, we always remember the men that God allowed to go and search out land. So he said, search it out. And then they came back with a good report. And I just want to read and skip some verses, and I will open the line for my brothers and sisters. And I'm just reading what Moses had said. And it says, start at verse 13 in Numbers. And it's called the heading of the chapter is called Mission of Five. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandments of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were the head of the children of Israel. Now we skip down. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And I'm not going to do all the names. And then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get ye up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what is it, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, or what cities they be that they dwell in, whether it's tents or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, be wood therein or not. And there be ye a good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land or the wilderness, and then unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. Okay, now I got to skip down. And they came unto the brook of Esrog and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bared it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranate and the figs, and they and the place was called the brook of Eschor because of the clusters of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And I'm going to just read this. I'm going to read this part. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither they sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled a walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and a Michianite dwelling in the land south. And it got Hivites, Jebusites, Amorites, and all these lands. But verse 30, I wanted to read. And Caleb still the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome it. I'm going to stop there. Oh, no, let me read 30. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And we know the rest of the scripture. I'm not going to read anymore. He talk about their giants. So as the story goes, God is able, and who we are to trust. Caleb said, let's go take it. And what the children of Israel said, no, they are giants. But Caleb had faith and Joshua. So I'm so grateful for promises what God gives to us, brothers and sisters. Did you hear what God said it had over there? Pomegranate, fig, grapes, all these good things. And, you know, I believe God can do it in these days. Amen. So I just want to thank God for his reading, and I just want to bless his word. Amen. So I'm going to begin to open the prayer line for my sisters and brothers. Amen. I see one hand up. We got 985-232. The line is open. You can pray. Your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just thank God for watching over us and waking us up. Thank God because he's so merciful and so good and precious. And he just watches us and he's blessing us all week. So I just want to thank him for his love. And I just want to give him the praise, the honor, and the glory because he's worthy to be praised. And we're just enjoying the sun over here where it's been a nice day. And my nephew told me Beaumont had a bad weather. And I mean, it showed me this huge tree that fell in the yard. But thank God it fell away from the house, because if it had fell on the house, it would have crushed it. It was so huge. So I thank God for that. And thank God. And I hope, pray nobody got hurt, because this happened yesterday morning. And we didn't have any bad weather here. So I just thank God for that, nobody got hurt and the tree fell somewhere else. So thank God for that. And I'm going to read, I want to read a prayer. Dear God, I thank you for faithfulness and for all the provision you have given us in our life. Lord, I am grateful that in times of need, we need not worry, because we know that all will be well for us. We avail ourselves to your guidance, Lord, because we know you know what's best for us more than we ever known for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, we just thank the Lord for his words that is encouraging and kindness. And we know he knows what's best for us, because we don't know what's best for us, because that's why we have to pray and go to the Lord and ask for wisdom and understanding so that He can give us a lead way if we action and not take upon ourselves, because all the time we take upon ourselves. So I just ask for prayers for my family, for the homeless, all the sick and the bereaved, and prayers for Ben Light family, and prayers for the upcoming event where we can have a blessed time, and we can come together and give God the praise and let someone know that God love them and continue to praise with the people that lost or not aware of what God want to know. Amen.
Yes, yes, sir. Just say hello to everyone. This is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. And I just wanted to, like my wife said, I want to give God the praise too. And I was thinking about the story. Like I said, I'm learning things about the Bible. I thought about David and Goliath, the giant. And I was thinking about to myself about this say seeing is believing, but also hearing by the word of God is also, you know, it's something too, you know, to hear the word of God is also believing, you know. I'm thinking about a lot of people saw the giant and they just, like you say, seen as believing, so they was really scared of him, how big he was, and they was all really scared to fight him, you know, and the big old spear he had and everything. But David, he was ready, you know, he wasn't afraid, he had courage. But his, I believe also the reading the story, just tell me if I'm wrong or right maybe, but I was thinking about he didn't go by seeing his believing, looking at the giant and being scared of him like a lot of other people did. He went by what God told him, and he said that I'll curse those who curse you and I'll bless those that bless you. So he heard the big giant, you know, cursing him, you know, saying, what are you going to do? The town and destroy the whole town and this and that. So when he remembered that, God said, I'll curse those who curse you. Hearing the word of God, it gave him the strength to figure like, well, I'm going to win this battle because I believe what the
Amen.
Lord said. You know, so by him believing in what the Lord said, he went defeated that giant, you know. So,
Amen.
You know, so it's not just hearing, it's not just seeing is believing, but hearing by the word of God, you know, is believing too.
Praise
God bless
God.
Amen.
Amen. Brother John, I'm sorry, but I'm praising God. You got your story. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Brother John, I tell you, you got that story. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John, for coming on. And as I was just reading about Caleb, how Caleb, when they went over to take the land, Moses told them to go over and spy out that land to see whether it's good or bad, whatever. He said, and then Caleb said, you know what? We're going to take this land. And God blessed him because he had faith. And I'm going to open the line just a minute. And look what God said. God said, just because Caleb had that, you know what? That's starting at Caleb and Joshua 8, which have not, they didn't murmur against God. They believed. They didn't doubt. And the same thing with David, Brother John, he believed. He heard the words of God in his ear. And he said, this heathen or whatever talk about my God. He said, but I'm not standing for that. So he stood up against that giant because he knew his God was the bigger one. And that giant was nothing but a peanut to God. Amen. Thank you, Brother John, for sharing that, and thank you, Sister Brenda, for sharing the prayer. Oh, praise God. You see, God is getting the blessings. God gets glory on this prayer line, sisters and brothers. I want to thank you so much for sharing that. So I'm going to open the next line. We just praise him and thank him for that. Amen. We're going to open the next line for 518-951. Your line is open. Amen. Can you hear me? 518, your line is open. Can you hear me? 518-951. Your line is open. Wait, hold
Hello,
on.
Yeah, okay,
yes, I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
Okay. Yes, my dear, good evening, my dear beloved. Welcome to everyone on Advent Light tonight. I just want to give God thanks and praise for his blessing. I just want to give God thanks, all the bless, all the glory, because to him
yes.
we cannot do anything. And with him, we can do all things. And as the scripture said, you know, we have to be faithful. And if we be faithful, he will be faithful to us. So I just want to thank God that, you know, when we come on this line, that every one of us can give praises. Look, listen to the praises of Brother John and Sister Brenda, you know, and how the word is powerful. And if we follow
yes.
the word, as my dear brother said, we won't go wrong, you know. And at this time, I just want to say, give him the praise. I am here this evening. It may be a little lengthy, but praise and honor goes to God. We are been here praying for the young people, right? We know that the young people are going through a lot of problems, and some of them not talking or telling their parents what they're going through. But you
mm-hmm.
know what? Thank God for prayer, and I'm asking, continue to lift up our young people in prayer, especially some of them. Some of them took up drinking. Some of them took up smoking, and they think that that is the right thing that they could do that will help them to comfort them or to allow them to be more as like a human being. They'll say that. But we know that that is destructive to their body. So I am asking my brothers to say, always let us lift up the young people, and in prayer, especially the boys. You know, we know boys go through things, and also girls go through different crises. So we just ask to pray. But rejoice to give God thanks for what he has done, hearing and answering prayer. I'm telling you, I went to Livingston Church yesterday, and everyone, you know, for I think over a year I have not been there. And I am there. I had a testimony here. I testify and give God the praise and thanks for our brothers and sisters. And I'm telling you, with the little children that I left, especially I can call some names, the Franklin children, right, and Martina children, and some other children that I left, actually like young, you know, small child. But eventually, those children grew up so big just in the space of a year. And if you saw what these children are doing in the church, oh boy, a little 11-year-old, if you see all he and the piano playing, not little Jesus loves me, this I know, big songs on the piano, big joy, standing up before the other children, doing children. Story, and you know, not just a little story, long story, real long. And then when he finished, he had prayer with
Praise
the children. It is. So I am telling you, my heart, you know, was so joyful yesterday to see. I was able to go to the nursing home to witness with some of the older people in the nursing home. It wasn't a lot, but the Lord said, we are two or three faithful. One come together to learn and to listen to his word. He's in the midst. If you saw how those people were singing the song, they were just shouting out the song and, you know, sharing after reading the scripture, they were there sharing. So I thank God for what I have seen. And the last one, I am telling you, thank God this evening we had a meeting for the outreach program in Louisiana, and God has been blessing. While I was listening to the meeting, I got a call and also a video from our project, Advent Light Project, with the house building in Jamaica, where the team leader, Mr. Moore, called and was showing us what they have done. And my dear beloved, it brings joy in my heart. It was three of them. We have Mr. Moore, We have Mr. Moore, Barry, and Leroy. Three of them, they took off the top of the house that we was waiting for so that they could build on top of that. They took off it, so it's all empty now. They clean out that. They pack up the stuff that the young lady has, and they are moving forward. So I just want to give God
praise.
I want to give him praise, and I do know he promised that he will supply us according to his riches and glory. So I am not worried, my dear beloved. We're asking you all, pray for those team members out there. I am not there, but they're still carrying out the work. So just pray that they will not get weary, because, you know, sometimes people get weary and the enemy creep in, but just pray for that. So I just want to give God thanks and praise for that. God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. I want to thank Sister Tamiko. She is on the line. She has sent some books. You know, I haven't opened it yet. The box came, and I just want to let her, you know, tell her thanks, because that ministry, she always been faithful with the book ministry by giving out the book and send different tracks. And I do know, my dear beloved, that these people who will receive these tracks, by the grace of God, God will allow them, you know, to accept and, you know, to know more about Jesus and his second coming. So thank you for listening. And my dear beloved, always remember me in prayer. Remember my foot. You know, I don't talk a lot about these things, because when things happen and I give it to Jesus, I don't want to complain and murmur. But I just want to give God thanks for what he has done. He has done great things. So continue to pray for Sister Paul. Pray for the project. Pray for our young people. Lord, pray for our homes, right? Because the children that grow up in the Christian home, they are producing the fruit of the Spirit. And they are out there, you know, with other children. So just pray that God will keep them. Thank you for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.
Amen, amen. Sister Powell, I'm so happy you got good news from Jamaica. You've been waiting to hear this news. So I just want to give God thanks. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the news that Sister Powell has received from Jamaica on that Rosie project. I know she was a little concerned, but Father, she is so happy and grateful that they have moved, that they are moving forward, Lord, to finish up this home for Rosie. And Father, I'm asking that you bless those men. Bless them, Lord. Give them what they do, labor, Father. And I'm asking you, Father, bless Rosie home, Lord. Fill her heart. Fill her home with your spirit, Lord. And that this may be the lighthouse, the house that have light, and that all the family members will know that God is good and he is able to do all things. Thank you, Father. Bless each and every one of us on this prayer line, Lord, as we share and just talk about your goodness, what you do for us. And thank you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to thank you so much again, Sister Powell, for that sharing that testimony. And we're going to go to another here that we press one. Sisters and brothers, let us open this line. Amen. 518-650, your line is open. You can give us your name, where you call it from.
Hello, good evening. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany in New York. Thank you
praise
for opening
Lord.
My line.
And
I would like to Sister Paulette Barnaby.
I can hear you. I said, go ahead.
Yes. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And I would like to read Isaiah 51, verse 11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Please, God, we come before you this evening, our Father who art in heaven. Nothing in our hands we bring, but simple to you we come. Lord, we need you to wash us in your blood. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O God. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness and make us into what you want us to be. Lord, we are your children. We are unworthy, we are unholy, we are undone, we are nothing good. But God, because of your grace and your mercy, we are not consumed. Because your compassion fail not, O God. It is you every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Thank you for being the God you are. You love us. You care for us. Lord, please mold us and fashion us into your likeness, God. We need you. We need you. Lord, we are unworthy and holy and done nothing good. But God, because we are here and because of your grace and your mercy, we have to trust you. We have to believe in you, God. Lord, please help us to adore you, to magnify you, to praise you, to exalt you, to lift you up, and to give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that is due unto your holy name. Anoint us, O God. Purge us. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness. Because, Lord, we want to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. Nothing in our hands we bring, but simple to you we come. Heavenly Father, be with us. Our children, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters, all our family members, we put them before you this evening, Lord. You see, all of us are on this line this evening, along with our families, oh God. Some are walking with you and some are not walking with you, but oh God, we are asking you, Jesus, to please, Lord, save us, cleanse us, mold us and fashion us into your likeness. And make us into what you want us to be. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Break us, melt us, mold us, and fill us, O God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Lord, our faith look up to you, the Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear us while we pray, O God, take all our sins away. Oh, let us from this day be wholly thine. O God, we put everyone on this line this evening before you come on this line every evening to intercede and to ask you for cleansing and for purging, oh God. Please, Jesus, have mercy upon us according to our loving kindness. According unto the multitude of our tender mercy, blot out our intercession. Wash us and cleanse us, oh God. Please, Lord, we need your cleansing. We need your healing. Take away sin, take away self, take away unrighteousness. Help us to walk with you, to talk with you, oh God, to tell you our trials and our troubles. And we know if we come to you with all our problems and all our trials and our troubles, you will intercede and you will take full control of us. Lord, you are the greatest. You are the mightiest. There is no one else but you. Help us to pray to you and to give you all the honor, the glory, the praise, Lord, from the moment that we wake up until we lay our head to rest. Help us to meditate on you, because your goodness is more than words can explain, and it is more than worthy to be praised. So, Lord, thank you for all you have been doing for us, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. Lord Jesus, be with the speaker tonight, Lord. Whatever the speaker say, let it come from your throne. Let the speaker not be seen, but let you speak. You be seen speaking to the speaker. Bless the speaker and his family. Bless each and the one who are listening in the background, Lord. And bless those who need blessing. Father, heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, open shelter for the homeless, Lord. Freely you receive and freely you give. So many things are happening all over the world, oh God. I'm asking you to intervene and to take over. Because, Lord, this world belongs to you and all of us in the world belong to you. Let not Satan take full control of your world, because your world is your world. And you have made your world to make you be what you want it to be. So, Lord Jesus, hear my prayer, dear God. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And if there's anything in me that is unlike you, Lord, I'm asking to rebuke, to remove, and to destroy it. Heal our body, cleanse our body, purge our body, anoint our body, and purify our body, and make us into what you want us to be. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering, Lord. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. I give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise that is due unto your name. Be in all the hospitals, the nursing homes, seniors' apartment. Be with all the doctors and nurses, oh God, the patients and the seniors, oh God. Thank you for hearing and thank you for answering again, I pray. And I give you thanks in the blessed name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for coming and praying and singing and just giving us prayers and scriptures. Thank you very much, and may God bless you and keep you also, sister, and as always. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to open the next line. We are so grateful to Sister Barnaby, and she come and join us every night of the week. We have our prayer line, so we're grateful to all our brothers and sisters. Amen. Now we're going to open the line for 318-762. We're going to open your line, and you can give us the name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. First of all, I'd like to give all my praises to the Heavenly Father above. My name is Nell Mitchell. I'm calling from Shreveport, Louisiana. And I would like for y'all to pray for me, for my family down here in Shreveport, and also in Dallas, Texas. I just want y'all just to pray for us because depression is real.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. And just been dealing with a lot, and I just want y'all to pray for me, especially to remove family members out of my life that negative, that don't mean me any good, that have lost contact with me, that I have reached out to, and I have opened my eyes up, and just going through a lot right now. And just pray for us down here. And I just say depression is real. And just keep us just lifted up in prayer, especially me. Thank y'all so much.
Amen, amen. And Sister Nell, we're going to offer a prayer for you right now. Thank you for coming in. This is the prayer line, and this is where you do come ask for prayers. So you are always welcome to join, and no matter what it can be an unspoken prayer. It can be a prayer that you just say, pray for me. God knows your heart. He knows what's in there. You don't have to say words. Just say, pray for me. I need a special prayer, and we will lift you up in prayer, your family. And all. So we gonna close out your time, and we're gonna offer a prayer right now. So I'm gonna ask my sister to offer a prayer for you right now. Sister Powell, Sister Barnaby just prayed. We would like for you to offer my niece Nell a prayer. Offer a prayer. You know, she's saying depressed is real. Yes, we know it's real and it's serious. Because it can take people way off a lot of times. So can you go into prayer? And I'm asking all my brothers and sisters, be in prayer for Nell and her family, because her son, he had a little sick, his blood sugar went down a little bit. So pray for him too. Amen? Let us pray for him. So let us lift him up. You got
okay.
it?
Okay. Okay. Yes, dear. Yes, my dear beloved, this is a prayer request come in, and we are asking our brothers and sisters to kneel or bow on your head, and in your secret prayer right now, just whisper prayer on behalf of Sister Nell. You all have listened to her request. God knows she may not be telling or talking or sharing what happened, and that we share in the closet, right? But we can lift her up, and we want to thank God that God was able, you know, to bring her back. Sister Nell is no stranger on the line. She came on this line several times, and we pray for her, and, you know, she give her praises. So now I will give you the chance to kneel or bow your head. Let us lift up our dear sister in prayer, because the Lord hears our cry, and he knows what we need. And I'm just going to, you know, trust God and have faith that he's able to do what you have to do for Sister Nell. Yes, let's pray. The great physician, and now he's near, the sympathizing Jesus. Father in heaven, we come before you this moment to give you thanks and praise for this gathering. We are asking you, Lord, as you have heard the prayer go up to you, Lord, we know you know our desire and what we need. And you said if we have faith to trust and to believe, you are able to do all things. Heavenly Father, I present my dear sister who come on this line, Sister Nell. Father, you knew before she was born. All what she is going through, you know, in which we do not know. Sister Nell do not know herself what she is going through. But we know we have a great king, a great father, a great physician, a great high priest, which is in the most holy sanctuary now, doing a mighty work of cleansing, Lord. And we know that he is preparing us to enter into that with him. So, dear Lord, we place your daughter to you, dear Father. Lord, you are our helper. You are our sustainer. You are our provider. And you are everything. We saw what you have done. Those two demonic men came out of the tomb. They was in shackles, Lord Jesus, our chain. They were cut all over where blood was running. But when they met you, dear Lord Jesus, they stood far off. disciples have to run from them because they were terrible. But my dear Heavenly Father, who have the whole world in his hands, stood still,
yes,
without warning and without fear. And when those men saw Jesus, Lord, the enemy was speaking, Lord Jesus, who is,
yes,
you, Jesus? Know you is Jesus, but in the name of Jesus, you raise your hand, and those two men,
yes,
was calmed and was healed,
yes,
and they went to,
yes,
your feet, Lord, wherever you,
yes,
go. They did not want to let you go because they met you, Lord, and they were healed. So this night, dear Father, we present your daughter, Sister Mel, to you, dear Lord. She said depression,
yes,
is from the devil, Satan. In the name of Jesus, we are asking you, Lord, to touch and to cast and to let your will be done, because you promise,
yes,
us that if we ask and have that contrived and humble spirit and our prayer reach up to you, you are able to hear and answer. So on behalf of every one of us, Lord, we present this request to you. Continue to bless her, our family members, our son, Lord, and all are surrounded. And allow us, dear Lord, to go into your word and to study your word, hoping that word of truth, that word of life, that word will bring healing to our soul, will bring comfort to our heart and our mind. So we just want to give you thanks. Bless us. Keep us this night, Lord, as we prepare to listen to the message. Allow the message that will be coming from the throne of heaven, and that we will,
yes,
be blessed and filled. Keep us, Lord, because we cannot keep ourselves. And we want to,
yes,
thank you for the many blessings and the healing of our dear sister. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for prayer. And I want to thank you, Sister Power, once again, for lifting up our family in prayer. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it just hurts me to the core that I hear so much trouble in the family, so much trouble. And I pray, and I know that God is able, brothers and sisters, as Sister Powell just prayed, get into your Bible, read your Bible, trust the Father, trust him, and believe. He will heal you. Trust him and believe in him, Lord. And not only that, you know, if you can pray with somebody, talk with somebody to help you stay in prayer in the word, Lord, that probably can help you too, Lord. Just pray for me, praying for your people. Lord, it's so many have so much depression, Father. So, Lord, we just, as Sister Power lift this up, we thank you for answering the prayers. So, Lord, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit out and touch all the people that's dealing with so many, especially the young people, Lord. Help the people, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Sister Power. I just want to pray. I just wanted to praise God for his blessing, for his healing hand. Well, there's no one else to press one. But I just want to say to my brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for joining Advent Light Ministry tonight, because you could have been anywhere, brothers and sisters, but you choose to come to the prayer line. And let me tell you, your Father, which is in heaven, see what we are doing here. And he knows that it's sincere prayers is being made to him. And so we accept what God has said. He say, believe. He say, let not your heart be troubled. He say, if you believe in me, believe also. If you believe in God, believe also in me. He said he have many mansions that he have. I need to read the scripture. Let me read the scripture, because I'm trying to do it off the top of my head. But I'm asking you, sisters and brothers, read that scripture, because the scriptures give us hope.
So let me go to that scripture so I can read it, and rather than trying to remember. John chapter 15, here we go. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, you hear what he said? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. How many of us know that he's coming back again? And he said, seed you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So God is letting us know, brothers and sisters, trust in him, because all power was given to him. And he sent his Holy Spirit here to help us, to teach us, to lead and guide us. So now, brothers and sisters, we are going to read a scripture, because we have no one else that is, we have no one else can press one. It's but so many on the prayer line, and everyone has pressed one, and that's why I read a scripture until the other come on. But I'm gonna go to a song. We're gonna just try to sing a song. And there was someone that was supposed to be on to sing a song, but they're not here. So we're going to ask for a song. Let me, if we can just wait a minute, I'll do a song by God's grace. Listen to the, let me do a song for. Because there's no one else but us. And but you know, the Bible says, well, there's two or three. He's gathered. And, okay, I want to sing. We're going to sing this song. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and he told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arm of faith and be drawn close and be close to drawn to thee. I can't sing this song. I don't have the...
Draw me
let me...
Near, oh, blessed Lord. That is the song?
That's the song. To thy cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Mm. Let me try the second one. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of thee. May my soul look up with the steadfast, and I feel thee, Lord, draw me nearer, nearer, blessing, Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessing, Lord, to the precious bleeding time. Oh,
amen.
Life. I think I'm going to stop there, Sister Powell. Amen. Because I don't
amen.
Know this song as well. So, amen, amen. Let me see if our speaker is on, brothers and sisters. Okay, our speaker is not on, but we have another one that pressed one, and we're going to open this line. And brothers and sisters, I'm asking if you would be brief. So just in case the speaker would come on, but I'm going to open this line, 857-651. Your line is open.
Amen. Hello, Sister Viola and everyone on the prayer line. Hello, Sister Powell, my beloved brothers and sisters on the prayer line. My name's Brother Eli. I'd like to thank God for his love and his mercy, because God is good. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Viola and Sister Powell. And Sister Paula and Sister Miola. My prayer request tonight is to lift up my mother in prayer. My mother needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to lift me up in prayer, Sister Miola and Sister Paula, because this week, Anastasia has been rude to me, Sister Power, this week. And Sister Power, I say, Sister Anastasia, I did not do anything to you. I respect people's boundaries. I say, Anastasia, I didn't do anything to you. Like Sister Paul and Sister Miola, Anastasia was yelling at me, and she was yelling at me this week. So please lift me up in prayer, because I was feeling, you know, stressed over this week. Sister Paul and Sister Miola. I don't know, can Sister Tamiko do a special? Can Sister Tamiko do a special prayer for me at this moment? Because Anastasia, it's been yelling at me this week. I don't know, can Sister Tamiko hear the request? Sister Tamiko, Sister Paul and Sister Miola. Thank you.
Amen, brother. Sister Tamika is not on now, but we will do prayer. We will go into prayer because the brother will be on in just a second. So, okay, then. Thank you, Brother Eli, and we will go into prayer now, okay? God bless. We will pray.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, let us go into prayer, brothers and sisters, because our speaker will be on in a minute. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Father. You have heard many requests on the prayer line. And dear Father, we are calling upon you now, Lord, because your request, we know that your ears is not far from us. We know that you hear us, Father. So we lifting up Brother Eli with his request. And dear Lord, we ask that you would attend to his prayers, Father, with his co-workers, his fellow brothers and sisters around him, Father. We ask that each and every one be nice to one another and that they can love one another, because God said he is love. So now, Lord, we just lift up Brother Eli. We lift up his mother to you, Father, his friends, Jahari, and all the others that he prayed for. And dear Father, we ask that you would touch each and every heart and let them know God has created all. And when he created us, the second commandment is likened unto the first. Love God with all your heart, so we shall love our brethren. And then, Father, we also lift up Sister Nell as Sister Power. We agree with the prayer Sister Power has prayed for Nell and her family, Father. So we continue, Lord Father, with that prayer as you continue to bless Nell and all her children, Father, her mother and all the host of them, brothers and sisters and grandmother and all, Father. We thank you, Father, for all the family. And now, Father, we also lift up Sister Barnaby, Lord Father, as she comes to worship and praise you on this prayer line, lifting up each and every one of us on this prayer line. We ask that you continue to give us strength and continue to be with her, Lord. And Lord, while she's here, coming to be on this prayer line just to give you praise and just to thank you, Father, and to also to support this prayer line, Father, because if it had not been for your servants that come to support, Lord, we can't do it as hosts by ourselves. And now, Father, we lift up Sister Powell to you and all of her family. Lord, we lift up and ask that you continue to work in their behalf, especially Sister Powell ministry. Lord, thanking you and praising you for what she got on the phone call, and also seeing the youth, how they are joining together, singing and praising and doing the things in the Lord. And we also lift up Brother John and Sister Brenda, Father, that you continue. Oh, Father, I can give you praise. I give you thanks, Lord. I remember the day that I went to John Bayard's side. And Lord have mercy, I ask, and all the brothers and sisters on this prayer line, I ask, Lord, we just say, Lord, wake him up and save him, Lord. Allow him to get to know you, Father. And Lord, we are seeing this just before our eyes, how John coming to give you praise and telling us about the stories in the Bible. Father, thank you so much for hearing these in my ear today, that you allowed us to live to hear these things. Father, thank you. And now, Father, I lift up Sister Brenda to you. Lord, all that you have brought her through, Lord, through the ulcer and all these little ailments she got. And, Father, she's still here today. The devil said she wasn't going to be here because she was going to be gone. But, Lord, she's here giving her testimonies and reading her scriptures. So, Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks for that. And, Lord, Father, we lift up Sister Stephanie. We lift up Sister Tamika and her family, Father. She was supposed to come sing, but she didn't make it tonight. So, Father, I just want to thank you. Lord, Father, and Brother Rick. Lifting up Brother Rick, Brother O'Neill, Sister Carla, Lord, Father, while she's traveling, while she's in California. I'm asking that you protect her and keep her, Father. Bless her, bless her children. And, Father, I'm asking you to bless all of us on this prayer line tonight. Be with us as we tonight. Now, Lord, we lift up the speaker tonight, Brother King James, Lord, as you are blessing this young man, Father, and he done become pastor. And, Father, we like to address him right, Father. He have earned his pastorship. So Lord, help us to remember. Yes, Brother Akeem, but Lord, he's pastor now. So thank you, Father, for blessing him. He have the Bible says that a skillful man deserved his position. So thank you, Father, for blessing him. And now bless your word, and we lift this up before you. Let us hear not the man, but the word of God, in which the Lord would use him. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So brothers and sisters, I'm sure let's see if Brother Akeem is on with us. Give me just a second. He's not here with us just yet. He's not on yet, but he's supposed to be. He's going to be coming in a minute. He should be with us. But I just want to praise God for each and every one of you for joining us tonight. We welcome all our brothers and sisters, all our brothers and sisters from out of the country. And sisters and brothers, we pray. And Lord, I forget sometimes to lift up our sisters and brothers that's from other countries that they are joining in with us. And we pray for them also, and that God is blessing them and teaching them what he wants them to know. And also, we are asking that you, brothers and sisters, you might want to get your pen and paper ready if you want to take a note, if you want to write down something, that you may have a question, you can ask Brother King James, that is our speaker tonight, and on the board to see when he come on. So I just want to thank you for being patient. And I'm going to just play a short song by the time he come on. Hopefully we can, here, let me just play this song. Just give me a second. I'm looking for the song that's going to meditate on the heart, that really speaks to the heart. Sometimes you pass these songs up. Okay, we're going to play this one, Lead Me to Calvary.
Okay, brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem is on. And we open up your line, Brother Akeem, 301-640. Oh. Your line is open. And we offer
right.
prayer. And amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Glad to be back on once again this evening. And I pray that all is well with each person on the line. And as we study today, we're going to be continuing in our study of the 144,000 and the things concerning that group, surrounding the formation of that group. We've been covering a lot from Scripture and also from the Spirit of Prophecy. And as we continue our study this evening, I pray that our hearts will be blessed. Father in heaven, bless our hearts and minds, strengthen us that we may understand, strengthen our minds that we may understand your word. And that we may see how it is connected to us. Strengthen us and draw us ever closer to you. Pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14. And we're going to break down a few verses. We looked last time at the connection between the 144,000 as they are spoken of in Revelation 7 and as they are spoken of in Revelation 14, the two places where the 144,000 are distinctly mentioned in Scripture, explicitly mentioned in the text. And we saw the context in which the 144,000 will live. It is the context of the releasing of the four winds along with the falling of the seven last plagues upon the earth. And so they will be living in this time, being called to be faithful to Jesus in this time. But as we saw in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1, and I looked and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now what does this reveal to us? The reason that the 144,000 are able to follow Christ there, because as you read Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1, the language is that of future, even beyond the time of trouble, even beyond the second coming. It says, and lo, I looked, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven say, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. So the idea that is being shown in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, is the context of heaven. The 144,000 have been victorious. They have made it beyond this world, hence the harps and harpers playing those harps. Verse 3 shows them singing a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders that are also mentioned in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. So we're seeing Revelation chapter 14 verses 1 through 5 is beyond this earth. It's beyond the event of the second coming. The 144,000 now stand in glory. But the reason that they stand in glory is because of verse 1. Verse 1 tells us what they do there. In glory. What do they do? And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now notice in verse 4 what it says is their position as it concerns the lamb, or their connection to the lamb. Verse 4 tells us, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they, speaking of the 144,000, which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Now it is true, all the verses 1 to 5, the context is glory. It is beyond even the second coming. They have been victorious, and they are following the Lamb. Keep in mind is that the reason that they were able to follow the Lamb in glory, the reason that one day they will follow the Lamb in glory, is because they have learned to follow him now. Therefore, if we desire to be a part of the 144,000, we must learn to follow the Lamb now. It states in Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 978, the following. The Lord has a people on earth who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. He has his thousands who have not bowed the knee to bow. Such will stand with him on Mount Zion. But they must stand on this earth, girded with the whole armor of God, ready to engage in the work of saving those who are ready to perish. Heavenly angels conduct this search, and spiritual activity is demanded of all who believe present truth, that they may join the angels in their work. We need not wait till we are translated to follow Christ, that is, to follow the Lamb. God's people may do this here below. We shall follow the Lamb of God in the courts above only if we follow him here. Following him in heaven depends on our keeping his commandments now. We are not to follow Christ fitfully or capriciously only when it is for our advantage. We must choose to follow him. In daily life, we must follow his example as a flock trustfully follows its shepherd. We are to follow him by suffering for his sake, saying at every step, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. His life practice must be our life practice. And as we thus seek to be like him, and to bring our wills into conformity to his will, we shall reveal him. Friends, and this is what happens to the 144,000. In the final conflict leading up to the second coming, remember, the 144,000 are formed before probation closes, before the four winds are released. We know this because Revelation chapter 7 tells us this. The question of Revelation chapter 6, the last question in verse 17, chapter 6 says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Rather than chapter 7 going into the seventh seal, however, chapter 7 takes the time to answer the final question in the final verse of chapter 6. Who will be able to stand? It says here, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and sea." Look at what he says. "Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And verse 4 tells us that that number, that group, is the 144,000. So in other words, before the four winds are released, and remember, friends, according to the prophetic layout, the four winds are released at the very time when probation closes. The seven last plagues also falls after probation closes. So the four winds are released following the close of probation, and the seven last plagues, the wrath of God, by the way, according to Revelation 15:1, the wrath of God is also poured out after the close of probation. So this group here, the 144,000, notice what the angel says in verse 2, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the angels, the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So what does that mean? The servants of God receive the seal before the four winds are released, before the seven last plagues, which means it has to happen prior, before the close of probation. This group is sealed prior to the close of probation to face that which happens after the close of probation. This is the final generation of saints, friends. This group that we are talking about here, the group that stands when there is no longer a mediator in the heavenly sanctuary, the group that stands when the sanctuary service has ended, Christ's work as mediator has ended. But while he does not stand in the sanctuary any longer as mediator, Christ is still sustainer. He is still sustaining them
in the holiness that he has perfected them in. The seal of the living God has been placed in their foreheads, but this happens prior to the close of probation, that when the close of probation comes, it meets them ready. So do you see it? There must be a group ready before probation closes. And this is vital, because many are saying that probation closing is predicated upon events. But no, friends, the close of probation, if you can say it this way, is predicated upon one event. It is dependent on one reality taking place, and that is the sealing of a people. So much so that the angel makes it clear, do not let the four winds go until a people are ready, until the 144,000 are sealed. So what does that tell us? A final generation has to be prepared before probation closes. Friends, this is of paramount importance. More than events, this is crucial. Because if you and I are to be a part of this group, then our character must be ready. And when the character is ready, then these other events take place. The close of probation, the releasing of the four winds, the seven last plagues, and everything connected with these events. Inspiration continues by saying the following. It states here, now this is powerful, because it shows us that while at the end, and one of the things that we can say, and this is concerning the layout, before we go to this statement from Inspiration, this is concerning the layout of Revelation 14. Revelation 14 has three major sections. First is verses 1 through 5, covering the 144,000. The second are the three angels' messages. That's verses 6 through 12. You can even say verses 6 through 20. But verses 6 through 12 are the kernel, the three angels' messages. And then after this, we find verses 14 through 20, a depiction of the second coming of Christ. To save the righteous, harvest the earth, harvest the righteous, and to also destroy, another angel comes out to destroy the wicked, right? As Jesus states, the angels of God come with him to gather together tears, the weeds, and to burn them up, to destroy, in other words, the wicked, while Jesus is harvesting the righteous. And so as this takes place, we're realizing, whoa, so these are the three major sections. Verses 1 to 5, the 144,000. That's Revelation 14. Verses 6 through 12, the three angels' messages. And verses 13 to 20 is a depiction of which event? The second coming, the climax of the ages. These are the three sections into which Revelation 14 is divided up. And the way that we make sense out of it is, yes, the last two sections, that is, the section of the three angels' messages being followed by the second coming, are in chronological order. But verses 1 to 5 reveals, not in chronological order, but it reveals the group that is formed as a result of the proclamation of the three angels' messages. In other words, a group will be formed whose character is perfected to face the great time of trouble. To face the time of trouble, which happens specifically when? After probation closes. There's a portion of the time of trouble that happens prior to the close of probation, but the great time of trouble, in which the plagues fall, in which the four winds are released, happens following the close of probation. And there is a group that is formed that internalizes to its fullest extent the three angels' messages, the practicality of it. And as a result of internalizing it, they are ready to face the great time of trouble after probation closes. So in other words, if we were to put it in order, the reason it begins, Revelation 14 begins in this way, is because it is showing the final product first, verses 1 through 5, a group in whose character Christ is perfected. It's showing the results and then it shows the message during those messages that produces those results and the event to follow the results. That is the second coming. So it shows the product first that the three angels' messages make when it is fully internalized. This is why it goes in that order. 144,000 verses 1 through 5. The final product of the three angels' messages, which leads up to now, what? Verses 13 through 20, the second coming. So this is why this is so powerful. This is why it is imperative for us to understand, not just theoretically, but in a very practical sense, the three angels' messages, so that we will be able to stand. And if God and his eternal counsel has determined we be a part of this group that is formed, we will be ready to stand in that group. Friends, it is a powerful thing. Now, as we look at this, it's not only the 144,000 who will be saved, but it is only the 144,000 who will go through the great time of trouble, who stand among the saints, that is. They are the ones who will face it. Before that, everybody else that stands among the saints at the very end, they will give their lives as martyrs in this work. That is during the little time of trouble. So as we look at this, let's understand some things about the 144,000. So it says here, verse 1, as we've been studying, and I heard, and lo, this is Revelation 14:1, a lamb. I stood, and lo, a lamb. Now, friends, that very word, lamb, tells us what the 144,000 focused on. It says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Verse 4 tells us that the 144,000 follow the lamb whithersoever he goeth. Now, notice the term that they use in this passage. In Revelation chapter 4, Jesus called the lion the tribe of Judah. Actually, Revelation chapter 5, Jesus is called the lion the tribe of Judah. Revelation chapter 19, he's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Word itself, he is called. Many names, depending on the context of the passage, portraying something about Jesus. Revelation 19, he's portrayed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords because he's coming back as a conqueror. He's coming back having full dominion and authority. So in each passage where he is identified as something, it is for a specific reason. Now in this passage in Revelation 14:1, he is identified as the Lamb. And the idea that it is bringing out behind that word, saying that he is the Lamb and that he is, that they follow the Lamb, is the understanding that they followed, their eyes were ever upon Jesus. Listen to this. The Lamb denotes Jesus in the context of his sacrifice. It is pointing to the sacrificial system. So they saw Jesus ever as the sacrificial Lamb. In other words, their minds, ever before their minds, was the image of Christ crucified. Calvary was ever before their minds, friends. And this is why it's powerful and it makes sense that they would follow him, right? Because as they continually have that manifestation of Calvary before their minds, friends, they will be sealed into that which they are beholding. And friends, you remember, that's what we read last week, isn't it? That's what we read last week. It is a powerful thing. Let me read it over to you guys once again. I'm looking for this statement here, powerful statement that we looked at concerning the seal God. And you guys remembered it, where we realized that the seal of God, yes, outwardly is the Sabbath, but we also found out that the seal of God is more than the Sabbath. It's the seal that angels can recognize. And what is the seal that angels can recognize? As we read last week, it is the manifestation of Calvary, Christ formed within. This is what causes the 144,000 to walk in righteousness during the time of trouble. Now, I'll read it here to you. This is found in letter 126-1898. Also, it can be found in Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 968. Speaking of this final seal, which outwardly is the Sabbath, but inwardly it is only a sign that angels can recognize. It says, what is the seal of the living God, which is placed upon the foreheads of his people? It is the mark which angels, but not human eyes, can read. Now, what is the mark? For the destroying angel must see this mark of redemption. The intelligent mind, that is, the destroying angel, has seen the sign of the cross of Calvary in the Lord's adopted sons and daughters. Do you see what the sign is, friends? As we saw last week, we read this statement. The sign is the cross, the self-sacrificing love of God, reproduced as it was on the cross, now in the lives of the 144,000 at the very end. And why does this just make sense? Because as we read in Scripture, they follow Jesus. But notice the term that Revelation 14:1 and verses 4 also uses. It says they follow Jesus in the context of him being the Lamb of God, the great sacrifice for the sins of man. In other words, they are following Jesus in the context of the cross, remembering that he died for them. He was willing to go all the way for them. And in seeing Calvary ever before the mind, ever before the frontal lobe, friends, some of you have experienced this before, almost maybe all of us on here have done this before. Of course, I don't recommend doing it if you haven't done it. But for almost all of us, we have at one time said, what if I looked up into the sun just to see if my eyes can bear it? I know it can't bear it, but what if I just take the chance, see what happens? You look up into the sky, and you look at the sun directly in the very nanosecond that you are able to bear it, and you turn away immediately. Friends, everywhere else you look, for probably the next few moments, the image, the imprint of the light of the sun is etched upon the eyes. Everywhere you look, that light is. You look at your steering wheel, that light is there. You look at the grass, the light is there. And it remains and it slowly fades as the moments go by. Friends, this is what it is like, except as the 144,000 focus their eyes upon the Son of Righteousness and they leave it there, the image of that light never goes away. It stays upon the mind, upon the mind's eye, upon the frontal lobe. And what are they focusing on, by the way? The Son of Righteousness crucified. They are beholding Christ continually upon the cross of Calvary, in their mind's eye, until what happens? That which they are beholding becomes etched upon their very frontal lobes. It is sealed upon their frontal lobes. And they continue in that train, ever focusing upon Jesus as the great sacrifice for the sins of the world. This is why this is so powerful, friends, because it shows us what causes the 144,000 to be able to stand during the time of trouble. Friends, it is not just actions. It is not just their behavior. The reason that their behavior is right, the reason that they will never do wrong again morally, before the time probation closes, all the way into the eternal ages, the reason why their behavior will be right, the reason why they will only do that which is good and never fall again morally, never do a wrong act, nor practice an evil habit. You know why? It is because their mind's eye is focused upon the cross. And as they see the love of God there, it inspires them to echo that love back. It is love, friends, that causes them to do right. It is love that causes every evil habit to be broken. It is the love of God as they behold it on Calvary that kills every evil habit, that kills every addiction, that kills every wrong behavior in them. They would rather die than do evil. Why? Because they have seen one who is willing to die for them rather than them being lost. This becomes the ultimate motivation for them. And this is why we must be aware, why we must be aware of the events that are taking place all around us. Above all else, friends, our eyes must focus on something greater than the events. Because, friends, a knowledge of the events in and of themselves can save no man. It is like that man, as I always say, who was in Jerusalem just before it was destroyed, first chapter of Great Controversy, and he ran throughout the entire city saying that Jerusalem is doomed. It is about to be destroyed. And was he right? He went throughout that city, I believe Ellen White says, for 7 years giving that proclamation. Do you know what Ellen White also points out in Great Controversy? That when the time came and Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, he was destroyed along with the rest of the Jewish nation. But the next statement comes with as much force as the previous statement by saying, yet not one Christian perished. Because they had taken Jesus' words, they knew what was coming, but they had followed the words of Jesus. Their minds had ever been focused upon Christ. And so when the warnings came years before, they left that city, and not one Christian perished, showing us that we must know Jesus and follow him. It is not just to know events, but to know Christ who is revealing those events to us and follow him. Friends, this is what will make all the difference in the world at the very end. Calvary, can you imagine that? I would have thought it was just a knowledge of certain things that would have kept us. But friends, it could not be so. For an intellectual knowledge of the truth cannot save anyone. It is experiencing the truth, being settled into it, not only intellectually, but spiritually as well, meaning in a practical sense, that will ultimately save us. Beholding the cross breaks our hearts to the point where God can do that work in us, that eradicates everything in us that is not like him. It says they received this in their foreheads. That's verse 1. And it says, and I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And this is the song that the 144,000 sing after they had been victorious. This is after the second coming. It says, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no one could learn that song but the 144,000, which were what? Redeemed from the earth. And the reason that no one else could learn this song is primarily because no one would have ever, apart from Christ, would have ever gone through the experience that they went through. As a matter of fact, their experience comes as close to the experience of Christ as you can get in terms of Gethsemane and Calvary. But even then, they don't experience that fully. They could not bear the weight of the sins of the world and what Christ experienced from Gethsemane to Calvary. They are the group that comes closest to ever tasting an inch of what he experienced. And because of their experience in Scripture, a song is symbolic of a person's experience. The psalmist made songs, David made songs out of his experiences. So when it says that no one could learn that song, that new song that they sang, it was a song that no one could sing because no one had ever gone through that experience. So it's not God playing favorites. No, friends. Each and every one of us has a song to sing because each and every one of us has gone through different experiences that also have things in common. But this group, they have gone through the worst. After Christ, they have gone through the worst things. So rather than God playing favorites, no, they have actually gone through no one else could have faced. unless they existed during that time and had received the proper preparation to go through that situation. So friends, they have gone through the worst of the worst as it concerns humanly speaking. Hence, they alone are able to sing that song. We also come to the realization that there are songs that all the redeemed will sing, including the 144,000, that angels cannot sing. Why? Because angels, unfallen angels, know not what it means to fall and then to rise again, to fall thousands upon thousands of times and finally rise up and be able to stand forever. They don't know what it is to be redeemed. Therefore, the song of the redeemed, even angels, will not be able to sing. So friends, every one of us has an experience, but this group has a particular experience. So as we study this next week, continuing with the verses 4 onward, my prayer is that we may truly desire to stand among this group. Friends, God will have many that will be saved at the end. But this group, in a special sense, faces something that is beyond what we can even imagine. And if we are to be a part of them, my prayer is that today, myself included, will behold Calvary so that that love and allegiance that was manifested there on Golgotha's hill will be etched into our foreheads. Father in heaven, I pray that you will do this supernatural work within us, for we cannot do it in and of ourselves, but you have called us to look, though, to look and live, to behold the cross in the scriptures, to have it upon the mind continually, that finally it is sealed into our very foreheads, seared into it. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, do this for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Brother King, we thank you for bringing us this message, giving us that understanding about the sun. And I've heard once that someone looked in the sun and it was on the news that they wasn't supposed to look in the sun. I've heard that statement before. So thank you for reminding us. And I never did it, but praise God. So we're going to say good night, brothers and sisters, and we just thank Brother Akeem for bringing us another blessed message about the 144,000. And I pray that we all be ready. And I'm going to close out with a song. So, brothers and sisters, we asking that you be blessed and that God keep you throughout the night. And we're going to see you on Thursday night on Health Night. So by God's grace, we're going to play this song, and God bless you.